This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
This podcast is in association with Joy, the pushchair and car seat experts. Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by the lovely mum of three, Sky, and we're going to be talking about how to prepare for the birth of your new baby. Whether this is your first or even your fourth child, getting prepared for your new baby can be pretty full on. So we're going to share our top tips to help you along the way. So welcome, Sky. It's great to have you on the show today.
Hi, Ollie. Thanks for having me.
So you're a mummy to three little ones, is that right?
I am, yeah.
And am I right in saying that you've got twins as well?
I have, yeah. So I've got Rio, who is now five, and I've got identical twins, and they're girls, Eliza and Cecilia.
Wow. Oh, gorgeous names as well.
Thank you.
My husband's dad is a twin, and we've always expected we might have twins, but we're two little ones in. So far, no twins. I know. So could you imagine we go for a third and end up with a third and a fourth?
Well, you might, yeah.
I know. Could you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
So obviously, with your three little ones, you've had a lot of experience when it comes to preparing for a new baby's arrival. So how did you prepare? I guess maybe for all of them, because obviously you had twins and you had your other little one. How did you prepare for this new baby arriving? So things like their clothes and their room.
Yeah, so when I was preparing on both occasions, even though I felt a little bit more experience when I was expecting the twins, I made a list, and I couldn't have done it without having a checklist. So I had a list of things that I wanted to do around the home and things, and then I had a separate list of things that I needed to buy. So we actually decided not to know the genders of the babies both times.
Oh,
so I know. So I was pretty much buying again when I was expecting the twins. So, yeah, I did that both times, and it just meant that if I started early enough, every month I could see where I was and what we still needed to do or still needed to buy, and it just helped me feel really calm knowing that I knew exactly where we were and what we needed.
Yeah, I think having a list is such a good idea. Like,
written down just as well, not just in a little note on your phone, but a pad of this is what I would like. And also on my list, I had, a luxury list as well. So if we were able to later on, we could add to that. But having a list of essentials is so important because you do just forget things.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? And I love what you said about having that luxury list. I never really thought about that, actually, because I made a list. I feel like because there's so much, especially if you're a new parent, it's kind of there's things that you have never heard about before. And suddenly you'll go and Google and be like, well, hold on a second. Like, what are breast pads? And, what size nappies do I need? How many nappies do I need? And then you find out that you might change your baby's bum 10 times a day. And it's like, well, hold on, there's only 12 in a pack, your brain starts doing overtime. But I really like what you said about doing your kind of luxury list and your kind of love to have, I suppose, because there is a difference, isn't there, between having your basic stuff and the stuff that's like the nice to have.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And everybody's got a budget, and you can add to that later then. So having your essentials is one list, and then having a separate list of, if possible, these are the things I would like. And then if you have a baby shower, or if somebody asks if there's something that you would like that you haven't got yet and they would like to get it for you, then you've got a list there already as well. So it's really helpful.
Yeah. Is there anything you did with both pregnancies that you did to kind of prepare, that you did with both of them that you really remember, or that you think was kind of really important that you did that and kind of that really sticks in your memory?
Yeah, so what I thought both times was, as soon as I come home, I want everything to be ready for me and baby or babies. So I washed all of their clothing, and the baby comforter and everything, ironed it if it needed ironing, and then I organized it all by size. I also used those handy dividers in my drawers, so I had vests separate from the baby grows, a little drawer for socks and hats and layers for warmth and things like that. So everything was ready for baby to come, or babies to come home, yeah. as it was for me the second time. And then also I had a changing station ready. We had a three-story house, so we had one on every floor just to make things so much easier. So we had the nappies and the wipes and the nappy cream, nappy sacks. We had one of those nappy bins as well, which was on the luxury list, not essential but helpful. So we had two of those, and it just meant that everything was ready so that no matter where we were in the house, we could just quickly change them. And then I did the same thing with having a little feeding tray as well, which I found so helpful. And actually another mum recommended that to me, and it was the best advice I've had, especially when I had the twins, because even though I breastfed, I needed muslins, bibs, water for myself, healthy snacks for myself, a book. You know, there's nothing worse than being sat under two sleeping babies and not being to get anything. So it was the best advice that I've done both times. So yeah, that was great.
And it's quite a handy tip what you said about the changing stations as well, because when I had my first little one, we lived in a flat, so it all was quite easy. I could just pop pop from one room to the other. But then when I had my second one, we live in a house now, so there's upstairs and downstairs, and I didn't realize how easy I kind of had it the first time compared to, you know, trying to take him upstairs the second. So I think, you know, having the you're changing things downstairs as well as upstairs, especially, you know, because let's admit it, there are poo explosions. It does happen, you know. So what you said is quite handy, maybe having those changing stations around you, you know, so you're not, you know, it's nice to have it obviously in a nursery or in one place, but like you said, in hindsight, you realise you kind of need it around as well.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, it just makes your life a lot easier, and that's all you can do, really.
Yeah, exactly. And so is there anything that you forgot to buy or you forgot to get ready before the baby arrived?
Yeah, so I forgot a nightlight when I had Rio. So I had obviously the main light in the room and I had a lamp. But actually for nighttime feeds and nighttime changing, I needed a little nightlight. And that's just something that I forgot. So quickly got one on the internet and it wasn't an issue. But those first few days where I just had the bright lamp or the dark, it was difficult. So that's just one little thing I missed off my list.
Yeah. And you don't know, do you? Sometimes you don't know until you're in the situation. Because I remember with kind of the same thing. We had a lamp, but I guess I never realised how bright it was until I had this little baby next to me, you know. Yeah. And we had to get a nightlight as well because it was either too bright, or when you're trying to do a feed in the middle of the night and you're still half asleep, it suddenly seems like incredibly dark, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like it just seems like, you know. And I think the thing I forgot, I don't say I forgot to buy, because I bought loads of vests, right, and baby grows, but I didn't realize, I guess, the first time round how messy babies can be.
Oh,
and you know, like I said, you've got the poos and the dribbling and the milk, and just kind of, especially a few weeks in when they're a bit more kind of dribbly or you know, that kind of thing. And I just didn't realise how many vests I actually needed.
Yeah.
And also, you know what they say about, because my firstborn was born in winter, and you know, you want to keep them warm and they can't have blankets. So I didn't even realise that I needed to kind of layer them up. And I suddenly realised things like the basics, like vests and basic baby grows, I suddenly needed a lot more than what I had planned on. You know, it's just one of those things, because people buy you lovely outfits and things like that. But the real basics, I definitely say, make sure you stock up on those, because it's amazing how many they go through.
It is, yeah. And it just saves you that that worry, I guess, of having to do a wash every day. You know, if you've got enough of those basics. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, because there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with not doing washing for the first few weeks of having a baby. If you're listening and you've got a pile of washing next to you, don't worry about it. We have given you permission to don't worry about it for a few days. You've got bigger things to worry about. You know, it's absolutely fine. No pressure here. So I guess going on from like vests and baby grows and nightlights, let's talk about hospital bag, because I feel like that's a huge milestone when it comes to pregnancy and having a baby.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'd say having three outfits for yourself is a good idea. So if you have something comfortable that you'd actually like to give birth in, and actually a mum I spoke to said that she forgot about this and she had just pyjamas, so she just had to give birth in a t-shirt and she felt quite uncomfortable. So it's just worth thinking about what you actually want to give birth in, I think. So I had like a long night dress, and then comfortable pyjamas, and then a couple of day outfits, maybe leggings, something very comfortable. I'd say the same for baby, really, three outfits, but spare vests, spare baby grows. And then really thinking about your comfort as well. So when I prepared my bag for having Rio, I did forget about myself a little. I didn't have a dressing gown. I did have my slippers, but I forgot just those little home luxuries that would make me feel more comfortable in hospital. So that was really handy to have. And then again, thinking about you as well as baby, you know, to have snacks that are healthy and nutritious, you know, slow releasing energy foods, and enough drinks for the actual labour and afterwards as well. And then I also had, when I was having the girls in hospital, a little self-care bag, which is something, again, I sort of missed when I had Rio. So when I had Rio, I had my shower gel and shampoo and, you know, your basic toiletries. But when I had the girls, I had basic makeup, my foot cream, I bought my massage oil, and my husband did my shoulders while I was in labour and things like that. And I actually managed to do a face mask whilst in hospital.
Oh, did you? Yeah, brilliant.
But it's just those little things that make you feel like you. And I think it's really nice to have those things when you're in a strange place and you're away from home and everything's very new and different. And yeah, it's just like a little treat, isn't it?
Making sure you have everything prepared for the arrival of your new baby can be daunting, but don't worry, you're not alone. Joy has an extensive range of award-winning products, including pushchairs, car seats, and high chairs. You've totally got this. It's such a good point, what you said, is obviously getting your hospital bag ready for the baby is obviously really important. And there's all these lists of what you need and that are quite helpful. And on the Emma's Diary website, there's loads of information on like the basics of what you should take and the must-haves. But we do tend to forget about ourselves. And also, we don't know how long we'll be in hospital for. We could be in hospital for 24 hours. We could be in for a few days, could be in for a week. You just don't know. And let's not forget about ourselves. And I love the fact you had a face mask, because why not? Because a big part of sometimes, depending on how your pregnancy and labour goes, you could just be hanging around for a little while. Why not treat yourself? And also, I'd say for a hospital bag, my one thing that I'd say try not to forget, which might sound a bit bizarre, is a phone charger.
You'd be a bit stuck without it, wouldn't you?
Exactly, because you know, it's like, it's one of those things you might not think of, but you know, you might have your partner there or your friend or a member of your family with you, and you might not think about it at the time, but you know, even for like taking pictures and things like that, you know, it's bizarre how, and you could go into labour at any time of the day, you know, your phone might be on charge at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You know, so I would definitely say make sure you have a phone charger as well. And where, this is like something I've wanted to ask actually lots of people, is with your hospital bag, where did you keep your hospital bag?
So I did have it in our nursery, mainly so that I could just add to it, really. But what I also did was I had a small suitcase with spare clothes for baby in it, or babies, and spare clothes for myself, because I didn't want to go into hospital with an absolutely huge suitcase. So I just had that as a backup, and I actually left that in the car, just mainly because I didn't want my husband having to stress and try and find everything if we needed more. And I'm so glad I did that. For both times, I was in hospital for longer than what I thought I would be. I think it was 4 days with Rio, as I had a blood transfusion. And then with the girls, we were in for 8 days. So we needed it both times.
Yeah, and I would say I did the same. Well, the first time I didn't do the same. That was a bit of a... It didn't go as to plan in the sense I wasn't as organised as I thought I was. I didn't have enough clothes and my husband made a, bless him, did a disaster with the clothes he bought for me.
Oh no, it's easily
done. He tried his best. The second time round, I had, same as you, I had my basic hospital bag at home because, you know, towards the end of pregnancy, you know, I was kind of at home quite a lot anyway. But I also had another backup bag in the car because I thought, if we were out and about, the likelihood is we'll be in the car, and it meant we didn't have to go home first. And I think if you're at a family house quite a bit, or if you are still working quite late into your pregnancy, is have a bag where you usually are, whether that's your house, your car, your friend's house, and because you just never know, do you? When that time is here, you just never know.
No, and you do want to just go straight there. You don't want to, you know, go home and get your main bag. So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And also, I guess what goes along with that is kind of thinking about where you might be when, you know, that when your due date is, and how you're going to get to the hospital, and what your plan of action is when it's time, you know. And how did you kind of put that plan together? What was your prep, I would say, for your baby's arrival and getting to where you needed to be?
Yes, I think the main thing for that is practicing actually going to the hospital, and I did that from work and from home. So from home, our hospital was about an hour in rush hour, so I'm very glad that I did a practice run in rush hour and then in normal, you know, midday time traffic as well, because it gave me an idea of when I would need to leave, you know, at different times of the day. Yeah. So also doing it from work, because I worked in a city centre, and it was a totally different route to the way I'd go from home. So I think that really helps. And then also having things like the car seat already in the car. I'd say maybe from about 35 weeks in a single pregnancy is probably a good idea. You know, knowing how everything works, so testing the pram, making sure you know how it folds down and how it easily fits into your car. If you've got an ISOFIX, have that set up already for your car seat. Know how the car seat works in the car. Practice taking it in and out. And then I had a car seat that clipped to my pram as well with adapters. So I spent some time getting used to the different adapters, taking them on and off, and making the pram a car seat pram and a regular pram. So yeah, that was really handy to do. And also I asked my mum to do the same. So myself, my husband and my mum all knew how to use all of the travel systems. So that was really handy, especially because you might not be up to doing the lifting yourself. So it's great to have other people around you that can help you and know the system. And, you know, you're not in the hospital car park with your new baby spending half an hour trying to work out how to get them in the car or anything like that.
Exactly. And I always say that at first, a new pushchair or a new car seat, if you're not used to them, they can seem a little bit daunting.
Yeah,
but I think, definitely, you know, once you've practiced it a few times without the stress of having a new baby next to you, you know, just yourself and your partner, or like you said, a family member or a friend, it definitely makes a huge difference, you know, to when it comes to that time when you're leaving this hospital with this new baby. I think it's just confidence. It makes you feel a little bit more confident, doesn't it? And a little bit more prepared. And you know, you can do it as many times as you want. No one's watching. Like, you know, no one's saying, well, there's not actually a baby in that pushchair. You can do it at home. You can do it outside.
Yeah.
And also, I would say, make sure that your pushchair fits in your boot along with your bags. Because I think sometimes people forget that just because you have a pushchair doesn't mean you don't have anything else.
Yeah. You know? No, that's true. Yeah.
But I have to say, like, choosing a pushchair and a car seat is such a big decision, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah.
So how did you... Maybe? Yeah, exactly. I always say that they're a bit like choosing your first car in the sense of they're that kind of important to you that, you know, they are the huge decisions. So how did you choose your car seat and your pushchair? How did you kind of pick those out of all the ones you could have chosen? How did you choose yours?
So I think the single most important thing is to do research before you even go anywhere and have a look at them. Just getting an understanding of the differences between different travel systems you can get. So I had an idea of what I thought I would like before I even went shopping for them. I think thinking about whether you live in the city or the countryside, whether you need something that's got four-wheel suspension, whether you want something that's more lightweight or heavier and sturdier, all those things are questions that you can feel better about answering at home rather than in a shop when you're looking at hundreds of different styles. So that was great. So the other thing I would say, though, is how important it is to test prams and car seats. So I've tried many different prams now, and how they look can often be quite different to how they feel. And everybody's different, you know, everybody's a different height, everybody lives in a different type of place. So prams suit your lifestyle, really. So you need to think about all those things. And without testing them, you're not going to know that, you know, looking at an internet screen, how they feel and whether they suit you and your lifestyle, really.
Yeah, and I'd say what you said as well is research is there are so many to choose from and it can be so difficult, but definitely research. And Emma's Diary's got like lots of videos that you can have a look at if you're not able to get out to like a shop or something like that, and lots of research. And definitely 100% what you said about looking at your lifestyle, so whether you're in a really kind of busy town or whether you're a bit more countryside with a bit more space, it's amazing yeah. how pushchairs vary. You know, and how they can fit into your lifestyle, because it is a big decision. And, you know, I made the wrong decision the first time and I definitely lived to regret it. I had this really chunky thing. Yeah, and I wish I'd done more research. And I think that literally is the key. If I'd done a bit more research, my life would have been so much easier.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing with prams is, it's worth thinking about the future as well. So my husband and I pretty much knew that we wanted to have children in a close age gap for our first couple. Little did we know, obviously, that we'd have twins.
Yeah.
But when I had Rio, I don't know why, I just thought, right, I want a pram. I'll get a single pram. And I didn't think about, could a boogie board fit on? Can you get an extra seat? Do I want two seats side by side or in line, one in front of the other, if that is the case. I didn't think about all these things. So actually I needed a brand new travelling system anyway, 2 years later. So it is worth thinking about all those things as well, I think.
Yeah, like just thinking ahead a little bit, you know, and it can be an investment, but, you know, we know how much use you get out of pushchairs. They literally are, you know, they're worth their weight in gold. Because once we went out for a day trip, and I don't know what came over us, why we didn't take the pushchair. I have no idea. I think we were a bit like, well, you know, Cameo, that's what he's called. He's toddling now, and he'd be all right. I don't know why. We lived to regret that day. I just don't know why. And it was like, we should have just bought the pushchair. It would have made life so much easier. But, you know, you live and you learn when you become a parent. I think you realise
you
can't do it all. So is there anything else, any other like pieces of equipment or any other kind of essentials that you think really helped you to prepare for your little one's arrival?
Yeah, so a new cot and a new mattress were on my essential list. You know, the recommended safety guidelines is to have a new cot and mattress per child, isn't it? So I think that was the most important thing, aside from the pram. And then I also had two Moses baskets because I was on a three-story house. So deciding where you'd like your baby to nap in the day is helpful as well. when I had the girls, I had a little crib in the living room because they could share it, and that would be easier than having two Moses baskets. So it's just thinking about how you move around your house and how that might change when you have a baby. One thing my sister-in-law found, actually, and she had a two-story house, was she had just one Moses basket for baby to sleep in upstairs, and a cot, which a newborn baby wouldn't have gone straight into. And she was just forever moving the Moses basket from the living room to the bedroom. So she eventually got another one. And it's just thinking about things like that, like we said earlier, how you can just make your life that bit easier. And then another product that I just simply couldn't have been without was my swing chair and rocker. I had a Joy one, and I played music, it vibrated, it swung in different directions, but it just soothed all my three so much. And it was just a safe place to put one of them while I was changing the other one as well when I had the girls. So I only had one of them, but it was brilliant. It was one of the more expensive products I purchased, but just like the pram, it was the most used. And I would definitely use one again if I had another baby.
And I think that's a really good tip, because I think people forget that your arms do ache after a little while. Babies are amazing, and I love them, and I miss having them being that tiny. But your arms do start to ache after a while. You do want to stretch out a little bit, you know, and having a rocker somewhere where, like you said, that they can look around, they're safe. It's kind of stimulating because they've got the things hanging down. I definitely think, and they doesn't necessarily have to be an expensive one, but I definitely think they're worth having. We had one as well, and I think if we had another baby now, that would be on our top five things to get.
Yeah,
definitely.
Me too.
Definitely. And yeah, you know, too. I think what you'll find as well is you'll have these basics, and it doesn't matter if you forget things, because I think we've all forgotten things, you know, being a new parent, there's so much to think about. And don't be hard on yourself if you suddenly realize, gosh, you know, I didn't get enough sheets, you know, the baby's nappy leaked, I haven't got another sheet, you know, all those things are like learning curves, aren't they? And experiences, and you will get the hang of it, you know. It trust me, you know, if you forget something, don't feel like a bad parent. We've all done it, and you are doing the best that you can, and you've been as prepared as you can be. You know, it's a whole new little being coming into your world.
Oh yeah, it's a big change for everybody, isn't it? So yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So before we end then, is there any last piece of kind of guidance or something that you have to kind of say, right, hold on, before I forget, this is what you definitely need? Anything else you want to, any more pearls of wisdom you have for us?
Oh, well, I couldn't have been without my pregnancy/feeding pillow. Again, that's just thinking about yourself, not just baby, but your comfort is really important too. So yeah, I think when you have a baby as well, it's easy to sort of not think about yourself, but if you're in the best place, then you will be better equipped to take care of your baby. So I really learned that from having Rio, that having, you know, like meals prepared for myself in the freezer, having healthy snacks available in the cupboards, little things that meant I was looking after me really helped, and it just made our life a lot easier. So also I managed to forget when I was having the girls, so after I'd already had Rio, that you need lots of things like nursing pads, cotton wool, nipple cream and things like that. And I just had what was left over from what I used with Rio. And I didn't have all of that at home, but I was maybe on week three, my husband had gone back to work. I was on my own. I didn't feel confident yet taking the girls out with Rio on my own, so three under three. So I actually went and asked my neighbour, and I felt quite embarrassed at the time going to them and saying, would you be able to help me and go to the shop? But she was so happy to help. And from there, we actually formed a really close friendship. And I think what I took from that was that we're all in this together. And if you ask, people will give you support. And don't be afraid to sort of ask those who might not be in your close support system for advice or help, because everyone will be there to help, you know. Yeah. So that's something that I've really taken from that.
And I love that, actually, as a way to end today's podcast, is I think that a big piece of advice on preparing for your new arrival is to ask for help if you need it, and don't feel embarrassed to accept help, whether that's while you're pregnant or when the baby arrives or a bit further down the line. Is people will offer help, and sometimes it's so easy for us to go, oh no, it's fine, we've got this, or no, it's fine, I'm just going to crack on. But if they're offering, accept the help. There is nothing wrong with accepting help or asking for it, and that can make life a little bit easier.
Yeah, it surely can.
But thank you so much for coming on today, Sky, and for giving us all your kind of insider knowledge. I feel like this is stuff you don't know sometimes until you've kind of been through it. So it's been great to have you on today.
Oh, definitely. You're very welcome.
And before we go, is there anywhere that we can find you online or to find out more about you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, which is Sky, S-K-Y-E, _Jennifer_.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sky. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you, Holly.
Speak soon. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This podcast has been made with our friends at Joy, the number one brand for pushchairs and travel systems. Shop online at joybaby.com.